Well, thank you so much. I'm going to ask you to take your copy of the Word of God and be finding with me the Old Testament book of Psalms, Psalm chapter 113. I would invite you to be finding with me now the 113th Psalm, and in just a few moments, we'll begin our reading at verse number 1. While you're turning there, let me say what a joy, what an honor, what a privilege that it is for me to be part of this wonderful Bible conference at Morningside. Brother Herman has told me for years, you ought to come to Valdosta, just sit out in the congregation and listen to some of the best preaching anywhere. And I had planned to do that. And then I got a call from your dear pastor, and he has invited me to stand in his pulpit and proclaim the Word of God. So I am so humbled. I love Pastor Wayne Robertson. He has always been so kind to me. I admire his ministry. I look up to him. He is a hero to me. He is a mentor. So thank you, Pastor Wayne, and thank you, sweet people at Morningside Baptist Church. Thank you, Brother David and choir and orchestra. It is good to be in this place. I am a little nervous because we have Herman Parker sitting over here. Gerald Harris is sitting right here in front of me looking at me. And I saw Mike Everson back there just a moment ago, Pastor Wayne. And man, these guys, they're the cream of the crop. And I'm so excited about listening to Dr. York in just a few moments. Told him just a moment ago, I appreciate his scholarship and his heart. What a great man of God. But I want you to notice with me now, Psalm chapter 113. There are 66 books which comprise the canon of Scripture. And from Genesis to Revelation, without a doubt, without question, my favorite Bible book is the book of Psalms. Now I want us to examine tonight Psalm chapter 113, and let's just move our way through this passage and let's just unpack it. We're going to read the entire chapter. We're going to read the whole thing. That makes some of you nervous, I know. But there's just 9 verses. Be thankful I'm not preaching Psalm 119, because there's 176 verses. But let's see now what God has to say in His Word. Let's examine, thus saith the Lord, and we're going to look at it verse by verse because that's the way it's presented on the page. Notice with me Psalm 113 and verse 1. Praise ye the Lord. That's a good way to start. Praise ye the Lord. We could say, hallelujah. Praise, O ye servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. The Lord is high above all nations, and His glory above the heavens. Who is like unto the Lord our God? Time out. There's no one like Jesus. The country preacher would say, ain't nobody like Jesus. No one comes close to Jesus. No one is even in the same neighborhood with Jesus. He is the Lord, and beside Him there is none other. Who is like unto the Lord our God, who dwells on high, who humbles Himself and stoops down to behold the things that are in heaven and in the earth? He knows what's happening here. He knows what's happening there. He is sovereign over all. Verse 7. He raises up the poor out of the dust and lifts the needy out of the dung hill. Wow. If you don't know what a dung hill is, Google it when you go home. That he may set him with princes even with the princes of his people. He makes the barren woman to keep house and to be a joyful mother of children. Praise ye the Lord. That's a good way to end. Praise ye the Lord. We could say it this way, hallelujah. I want us to notice tonight and key in and focus our attention on that great Bible word, praise. I want us to consider that scriptural word, praise. From cover to cover, we find that word, praise, throughout the Word of God. It's interesting, Psalm 113 begins and ends with praise. Psalm 113 commences with praise. It concludes with praise. The Alpha and Omega of Psalm 113 is praise. The first and the last, the beginning and the end of Psalm 113 is praise. Five times in Psalm 113, we find that word praise or some variation. In verse number 2, we find the word blessed, and it means to kneel and praise. So you could say it this way, six times in Psalm 113, we are commanded to praise. It's not an option. It's not a suggestion. It's not if you want to. It's not if you feel like it. But we are admonished to praise the Lord. If God would have said it just one time, it would have been enough. It would have been sufficient. But God says it over and over again. He repeats himself. And there is importance in repetition. God says, praise ye the Lord. You praise. Praise is personal. Praise is specific. Praise is reserved for all people, but especially you. And especially me. Praise ye the Lord. So with that thought in mind, I want to preach tonight for just a while, if God would help me, on this subject. Don't forget to praise Him. Don't forget to praise Him. Praise ye the Lord. You praise. It's almost as though the psalmist says, hey, you. Yeah, you. Are you praising Jesus? Are you praising the Almighty? Are you praising the Lord? Don't forget to praise Him. I really believe that God has sent me to South Georgia, all the way from North Georgia, to give us a reminder tonight, to stir up our pure minds by way of remembrance. Sir, don't forget to praise Him. Ma'am, don't forget to praise Him. Young person, teenager, college student, don't forget to praise Him. I am a pastor. And most pastors that I know, Brother Wayne, we have anxiety. I struggle with it. And sometimes there's pressure and stress. In fact, lots of times there is. And sometimes there is even fear and dread. And if you're a pastor, Sunday is the day. Yesterday was Sunday. That's the big day. And you strive for excellence in everything that you do. You want to give it your all. You want to be your best. You want to do it right. And on Sunday morning, I want to make sure that I greet the people, that I'm kind and that I'm friendly. And I want to introduce myself to our guest. And I want to remember as many names as I can. And someone says, Pastor, make this announcement. Make that announcement. And you want to say something very good about the choir because we have a great choir. You have a great choir. And you've got to do this. And you've got to do that. And this person says the sanctuary is too cold. And this person says the sanctuary is too warm. How do I know? They tell me. And I don't even know where the thermostat is. True story. Tell somebody else. Dr. York, most importantly, you have on your mind, in your heart, that message that you've been pouring over all week long. And you want to give birth. You want to deliver that sermon. And you want to do your exegesis and your homiletics and your hermeneutics. And you want to get your outline right. And you want to alliterate it if possible, because God forbid if the words in the outline don't all start with the same letter. And I'm going to be transparent. Brother Wayne may not let me come back after what I'm about to say. Sometimes in the midst of all of that ministry minutia, sometimes in the midst of all of that stuff, you got to do this, you've got to do that, I forget to praise Him. I want to praise Him. I know I'm supposed to praise Him. I need to praise Him. But Brother Herman, sometimes on Sunday morning, because I've got so much on my mind, and I got to make sure that I do this, that, and the other, I neglect praising Jesus. And I may be the only one. So tonight, if anybody needs to hear this, hallelujah, but mostly it's for me. I need to be reminded. Don't forget to praise Him. Yesterday at our church, we had a great day. It was an unusual day. And I had a message that I was going to preach, and this doesn't happen very often, but the Holy Spirit just seemed to whisper, "You're not preaching that today." And you pastors know when the Holy Spirit says that, you better trust Him. And we had three miracles in our church yesterday. There was a young lady that was in a terrible automobile accident. She was airlifted to Grady Hospital. We didn't know if she was going to live. She finally came back to church yesterday after many months of recovery, and we rejoiced. We celebrated. There was a man in our church yesterday. He's in his 70s now, and he's on the front row every week. And when no one else says amen, he does. But several months ago, he had a brain aneurysm. And then he had another brain aneurysm, and he had to have two life-threatening surgeries. And he came back to church yesterday, and we rejoiced. We celebrated. And then one of my favorite people in our church, her name is Kim. I think they may have a picture of Kim. Kim is special needs. And Kim has a lot of affection. She just wants to hug you every time she sees you. And everyone loves Kim. She always smiles. Don't mess with Kim. Everyone loves Kim. Several months ago, she was diagnosed with cancer. And boy, it broke our heart because we love Kim. She's special to us. And the doctor said she's going to have to go through extensive chemotherapy treatments. And we were told that she may live, she may not live. Did you know, her mother told me, throughout all of those chemotherapy treatments, Kim never one time got sick. She smiled throughout the whole thing. It's almost as though she never knew she had cancer. This past Friday, we got word from her doctor that Kim was 100% absolutely cancer-free. She came to church yesterday. We didn't plan this. All three people came back to church, and man, the church just exploded. In praise, we rejoiced, and we celebrated. And the Holy Spirit said, "You're not preaching that." And I got up in the pulpit, and I quoted Psalm 34, verse 1. "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth." It's interesting, students. That verse does not say his praise shall be in my heart. Although it's in the heart, that's where it originates. But hear me, and this might make someone uneasy, but here goes. If it's in your heart, it's going to flow from your mouth. You say, "I just keep all my praise on the inside." Well, you better let it come out sometime. And you know what we did yesterday at our church? I don't think it's ever happened, Brother Herman. For about 10 minutes, I said, "Guys, I'm going to take this mic off. And right now, I'm going to do something that's very unorthodox. But I am going to vocalize my praise. I'm going to verbalize my praise. I'm going to say it and speak it forth out loud." And I did. And several other people began to join in. I don't know who all was praising. I didn't look. But I heard the beautiful sound of praise being uttered unto the Lord. Don't forget to praise Him. But then, out of the corner of my eye, I noticed a couple that has been struggling with infertility. All the young couples at our church, they're fertile, man. They're having babies left and right. They're taking care of business. I mean, they're having babies. But I noticed that infertile couple, Brother Wayne, they don't have their miracle yet. They didn't get a yes answer to their prayer yet. But I watched in the corner of my eye as that precious couple raised their hand. And this is what they said: "Praise God anyway. When He says no, He's still good. When He doesn't answer the way we want, He's still God." And I watched them praise. And in my heart, I said, "I want to praise like that. I want to celebrate like that." And then I watched a widow lady. And that widow lady, she had a husband who died of cancer a few years ago. Brother Gary was one of our greatest servant deacons in the church. And she prayed too. And Kim, she got her healing. She's a miracle. But Brother Gary died. But Dr. York, I watched that widow as she lifted her hand in praise. And it's almost as though she said, "Praise Him anyway. He's always good. He's always God." And in my heart, I said, "I want to praise like that. I want to rejoice like that. I want to celebrate like that." So now, if I may, I don't know how much time I've got left, but I just want to do an investigation of that word, praise. Every good investigator asks questions. I've been told that I ask a lot of questions. My wife tells me that. I've been told that I ask too many questions. Some call that being nosy. I call it being inquisitive. That's how you find out stuff, when you ask. Even the Bible says you have not because you ask not. My big old head and this mic, we're trying to do the best we can. I read something the other day, Brother Gerald, that made me feel better. The smartest person in the room is not the one with all the answers, but the one who asks all the questions. So four simple questions will guide our investigation of praise. I remember when I was in graduate school over in the state of Alabama, Dr. Bivens told us to always follow the KISS approach. You know what it is. K-I-S-S, keep it simple, stupid. So I don't want to be complicated, Dr. York. I don't want to be complex. I just want to give you four simple questions. Here's my outline. It's profound. What, who, when, why? And we're going to answer those questions in Psalm 113. First of all, let's just talk about the what of praise. What is praise? If we're going to talk about praise, what is praise? Someone said that praise is giving all of me to all of Him. Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Praise is giving all of you to all of Him. You'll find the word praise 248 times in the pages of Holy Scripture. You'll find the word praise 132 times in the book of Psalms alone. Psalms is the Bible's praise book. Everyone here knows that a psalm is a song of praise, a hymn of praise, an anthem of praise, praise choruses. And those ancient Jewish people would sing praise in psalms. It's the Hebrew hymn book. And Psalm 113 sounds like what you would think a psalm would sound like. It begins and ends with praise. What is praise? Let's define praise. There's seven Hebrew words in the Old Testament for praise. And when you find those words, praise, in the Old Testament, it doesn't always mean exactly the same thing. But each and every time you find the word praise in Psalm 113, it is the Hebrew word hallel. Go back and look at verse number 1. We can read it like this. Hallel ye the Lord. Hallel, O ye servants of the Lord. Hallel the name of the Lord. You know what that word hallel means? To shine, to brag, to boast, to exalt, to lift up. That sounds like praise to me. I tell our people all the time at our church, God has just one spotlight, and it only shines on Jesus. May Jesus receive all the praise. Jesus, He and He alone receives all the attention and all the acclaim. Let me say this, God's spotlight does not shine on a preacher. It does not shine on a singer or a Sunday school teacher. It does not shine on a man or a ministry or a movement or a denomination. It only shines on Jesus. The most obvious response to our Lord is praise. I wonder tonight, are you praising Him? Don't forget to praise Him at Bible conference. You praise, praise ye the Lord. Brother David, in church today, we have buzzwords like praise and worship. We hear that. It kind of goes together. Praise and worship are related. They're connected, but there is a distinction. Praise and worship are synonymous, but they're not identical. Hear me. When we praise, we lift up. When we worship, we bow down. Psalm 95, verse 6. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. And Brother Wayne, I want to lift him up, and I want to bow down before him. The what of praise, Hallel the Lord. When I hear that word, Hallel, I can almost hear our word, Hallelujah. Hallel means praise. Yahweh means Lord. Hallel Yahweh. Hallel Yahweh. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We've got a man in our church that used to attend a Methodist church, and I found out that Methodists make better Baptists than Baptists. I love that Methodist. And I noticed when he prays, he always finishes prayer this way, Amen. He doesn't say Amen. He says Amen. Well, whether you say Amen or Amen, it means the same thing. This is true. Verily, I agree with you. That's right. And did you know that Amen is the language of heaven? We're going to continue saying Amen when we get to heaven. Y'all practice it. Amen. And then that same Methodist, he also says Alleluia instead of Hallelujah. Well, whether you say Alleluia or Hallelujah, it means the very same thing, praise the Lord. I went to the Andes Mountains of Peru a few years ago, and Brother Gerald, I couldn't speak their language. I didn't know all those Spanish words. But when I said Hallelujah, those little children said, Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Because Hallelujah is not a Hebrew word or an English word. It's a universal word, and it means praise the Lord. Hallel the Lord. Psalm 113 to Psalm 118 are what we call the Hallel Psalms. Dr. York, you know that. A few years ago, I preached through the Hallel Psalms on Wednesday night. It was a fascinating study. And those ancient Hebrews would sing the Hallel Psalms at the three pilgrimage feasts, the Feast of Tabernacles, the Feast of Pentecost, and the Feast of Passover. I thought about that. They were singing praise to commemorate the Exodus out of Egypt. And the time that there was blood applied to the doorpost of a spotless sacrificial lamb. And I thought about it. Thousands of years later, we're singing praise for the very same thing. Hallelujah, praise the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. So we see the what of praise. The most obvious response to Jesus is praise. But then, secondly, not only the what of praise, but the who of praise. Who are we praising? We're not praising Democrats. We're not even praising Republicans. I think you know who we're praising. Look at verse number 1. Praise ye the Lord, O ye servants of the Lord. I thought about it today. That's what we're called, servants. The Bible does not say, well done, good and faithful expository preacher. It does not say, well done, good and faithful effective communicator. It does not say, well done, good and faithful visionary leader. It does not say, well done, good and faithful CEO. But it says, well done, good and faithful servant. Did you know the last time you find the word praise in the Bible is Revelation 19:5? And it seems to indicate that praise is our service. That's what we do. Revelation 19:5, a voice came out of the throne and it said, praise our God, all His servants, both small and great. Who are we praising? Look at verse 1. Praise ye the Lord. Praise, O ye servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Anytime you find the word Lord in all capital letters, it is a reference to Yahweh, Jehovah, the preexistent I Am God, the God who was, is to come, and evermore shall be. That's who we praise. There's a sweet lady at our church, and every time I see her, she always says, Preacher, praise His high and holy name. She'll send me text messages. Praise his high and holy name. That's biblical. Look at verse number 4 and 5. The Lord is high above all nations, and his glory above the heavens. Who is like unto the Lord our God, who dwells on high? I think it's Isaiah 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple, and the seraphim cried one to another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." Jesus, Messiah, name above all name. Hey, there's something about his name. Look at verse number 1. Praise the name of the Lord. Look at verse 2. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Look at verse number 3. The Lord's name is to be praised. Did you know there's something about his name? There is a name I love to hear. The lovely name of Jesus. I think it's Psalm 100 verse 4. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Proverbs 18:10. Somebody ought to preach this. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and is safe. Isaiah 42 verse 8. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. Only Jesus gets the praise. Jesus said, "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." If I were ever interviewed on CNN or Fox News, and it probably will not happen, but if so, I would use that national platform to declare one Bible verse, and this is what it is, Acts 4:12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name given among men whereby we must be saved. Oh, Philippians chapter 2, it's so precious. Wherefore God also has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The what of praise, the who of praise, and I want us to look at this when I'm almost done, the who of praise, and then the when of praise. When, the when of praise. When are we supposed to praise? I think we're supposed to praise Monday night in Valdosta at the Bible conference. I think we're supposed to praise at all times. In fact, Dr. York, you said it a moment ago, I really believe that's why we're on this earth to glorify him. I was born to praise the Lord. When do we praise? Look at verse number 2. From this time forth and forevermore. We praise now. We praise at this moment. We praise today, and then we'll praise tomorrow. You can't live on yesterday's praise. You can't live on the praise of the past. We need to praise him today and throughout all eternity. And that kind of gives us a hint of what we're going to do in heaven. Somebody says, what are we going to do in heaven? We're going to praise him. What are we going to do when we get finished praising him? Praise him some more. These folks that can only take 1 hour of praise a week, what are they going to do in heaven? I wonder if they're going to make it. Our praise will never end. Our praise will never cease. We'll never go on hiatus. We'll never go on sabbatical. And while the ages roll, I'll keep on praising him. And my voice will never tire or grow old. And my song shall ever be, praise the Lamb who died for me. And I'll sing it while ages shall roll. Look at verse number 3. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same. That means from sun up to sun down, we praise. That means when we put our foot on the ground in the morning, we praise. We praise Him throughout the day. And then we praise Him even when our head is on the pillow at night, from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same. Brother Wayne, when the sun sets here, it's still shining other parts of the world. Before we woke up this morning, they were already praising Him in Europe and Africa. Tonight, while we sleep, they're going to be praising Him in Asia and Africa. Just keep on praising the Lord. When do we praise Him? Watch this. He wants old people to praise. He wants young people to praise. He wants happy people to praise. He wants unhappy people to praise. Even when you're unhappy, you can have joy. He wants white people to praise. He wants black people to praise. He wants brown people to praise. He wants Jews to praise. God inhabits the praises of Israel. And He wants Gentiles to praise. When you want to praise, praise Him. When you don't want to praise, praise Him. When you feel like it, praise Him. When you don't feel like it, praise Him. When there's money in the bank, when you're in the red, praise Him. When you're on the mountain, praise Him. And when you're in the valley, and it seems like that's where I'm at most of the time, praise Him anyway. I wonder tonight, are you praising Him? I've got one more and I'll be done. Don't forget to praise Him. The what of praise, the who of praise, the when of praise, and then lastly, the why. Why do we praise Him? Because He tells us to. Over and over, we are commanded to praise. Somebody said, I don't have anything to praise Him for. Are you kidding me? Psalm 150 and verse 6, it's the last verse in the book of Psalms. Somebody said it, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. If you've still got air in your lungs, you're a candidate to praise. If you still have blood coursing and flowing through your veins, you're a candidate to praise. If you still have a pulse, and it's hard to tell with some folks, you're still commanded to praise. And we can praise Him for His glory. Look at verse number 4. The Lord is high above all nations, and His glory above the heavens. I saw that American flag out there a moment ago. A few weeks ago, we had an Independence Day celebration, July the 4th. And I love red, white, and blue. God bless America. God bless the USA. I love all of that. I preached last week a funeral for a Vietnam veteran. Praise God for that. Patriotism. I love it. But I love Jesus more. Jesus is higher than all the nations, China and North Korea and Russia and the United States and Great Britain, His glory above the heavens. Who is like unto the Lord? No one can compare to Him. He is prominent and preeminent. He's awesome and amazing. And then verse 6 says He's the God of heaven. He's the God of earth. Praise Him for His glory and then praise Him for His grace. Now look at verse 7. I've been waiting to get to this. He raises up the poor out of the dust and lifts the needy out of the dunghill. That's what happened when I got saved. He pulled me up out of that depraved, dirty sin shame. He took me out of the waste pit, the garbage pile, the waste pile. And somebody said He reached farther down than I could reach up. Someone said that grace is the hand of God reaching down to man, and faith is the hand of man reaching up to God. For by grace are you saved through faith. He reaches down and then He raises us up. Look at verse 8. And sits us in heaven with princes. He sits us with royalty. We are honored guests. We are trophies of grace. And then verse 9. He makes the barren woman to keep house and to be a joyful mother of children. I learned something, Dr. York. The first time you find the word praise in the Bible is in Genesis chapter 29, verse 35. You remember Sarah, She was barren, but she's had a child. Rachel, barren, but she's had a child. Hannah, she's barren, but she has a child, and she sings praise unto the Lord. Even when Mary was found to be with child, she sang the Magnificat, that hymn of praise. But in Genesis chapter 29 and verse 35, Jacob and Leah have already had three sons, and then they have that fourth son, and this is the first time you find the word praise in the Bible. Genesis 29, 35. And she conceived again and bare a son, and she said, "Now will I praise the Lord." And she called his name Judah. Judah's name means praise. May I remind you that the Lord Jesus is the Lion from the tribe of Judah. And from Genesis to Revelation, let us praise Him. Lord, we bless You. We honor You. God, I came all the way to Valdosta tonight, and I confess to these people that sometimes I forget to praise. So, Lord, if we don't praise You, everything else is just wood, hay, and stubble. If we don't praise You, Lord, we're just merely spinning our wheels. Praise ye the Lord. Jesus, we love You. In Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you.
Amen. Yeah.